So here we are. We are still in the Easter season, believe it or not. 2 weeks from today, we're going to celebrate Pentecost, the day when we recognize the birth of the church. But today, we continue to bask in the glow of Easter. And as we do, we think about some of the last words that Jesus told his disciples before his death. These are some of the most inspiring words in all of the Gospels, words about love and friendship. We throw around the word love a lot with flippancy and too often disregard. They are three words that we say too much and never, ever enough. We make friends and lose friends. We pledge our undying friendship to our BFFs, our best friends forever. But how do we truly understand friendship? In this passage, Jesus shares with us what love is all about and what true friendship really means. So let us listen to the words in the Gospel of John.
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so you may be in joy, or so that joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
There's always someone who doesn't get picked. It's the absolute worst part about recess and PE. It'd be trite if it weren't so real. I don't know why it always works this way, but for some reason it always did. Maybe things are different now. I don't know. But when I was growing up, and likely when you were growing up, we'd play sports. And somehow two kids would end up the team captains, and they'd begin to pick off the most athletic kids or their best friends, one by one as they filled up their teams. If we were playing baseball or softball, I had no fears. Basketball wasn't too scary, but when it came to anything like soccer or football, anytime I had to run around and catch things that weren't softballs, I got that pit in my stomach. You know the one? I can't remember it still. It was so scary, but I'd hold my head up high, trying not to look like I was scared, smiling just enough to let the person know that I was interested in being on their team, but cool enough not to really care if they didn't pick me next, because I knew they'd get around to me. Just please, please don't let me end up being last, I'd think, and I'd subtly cross my fingers behind my back, waiting for them to say my name. And then, the way it feels when you're finally picked on the team, ha, yes, relief. Sometimes it was a literal shout for joy, because you could do that when you were a kid. Yeah, high five me, I'm on your team. Other times, you had to play it a little cooler. That cool exterior masked those inward, woohoos, I'm in. But either way, there was a definite sigh. I'm wanted. I've been chosen. I belong. But then there's the feeling when you're the last one picked. You're not even really picked then. You're just the leftovers. You feel awful. Even though you're finally on the team, you know that they just think of you as dead weight. The one that no one wanted. It's a horrible feeling. It's awful. It makes you want to feign a stomachache rather than have to stay on the team that you weren't actually picked for. The contrast is sharp. Belonging and not. Included and excluded. Chosen and unchosen. We know it all too well. We've probably all been on both sides of the situation, haven't we? Sometimes the stakes are low. Other times, the stakes are high. Will I make it into the inner circle? Or am I gonna be left out? We think we'll grow out of it by the time we're adults, but the funny thing is, I don't think we do. Wounds like this stick with us. And somehow, it doesn't matter how old we are, we still find ourselves standing on that white line on the side of the field with all the other kids wondering if we're gonna get picked next. Whether it's rushing a sorority, getting picked at PE, invited to a coveted party, a promotion at work, selected as friend, chosen as a life partner, we know what it feels like to be validated. And we know what it feels like when we don't belong. That's the way this world seems to work. Sadly, it's worked like this from antiquity all the way until today. But Jesus has other thoughts on this topic. If you remember, when Jesus is beginning his ministry, he goes out in search of followers to teach so that they might become his disciples and journey with him throughout his ministry. The Greek word for disciple is mathetes, which means student or learner. A teacher or a rabbi garners students who study under their master, their kurios, Lord. So Jesus selects a group, they say, of 12 disciples. And these guys follow him in his ministry and study under him, listening to him teach and preach. Clearly, this relationship is hierarchical, right? The student seeks to learn from the teacher. There's a sense of loyalty the disciple has to his or her teacher, and there's also reciprocally a sense of loyalty that the teacher has to the student, the disciple. Well, during our Lenten journey together, we had to ask ourselves if we were willing to be disciples, if we were willing to be students. So we contemplated, are we actually going to follow Jesus? Can we listen at his feet? Are we able to eat of his bread and drink of his cup? When he asked us to pick up our cross, we were left with the weight of his question. Would we follow? Could we let this man, this teacher, this son of God, take us to another level? Would we really go there? Could we really choose Jesus? Were we going to follow him? Could we withstand the character threats, the attacks on our beliefs, the burden of a cross, even the piercing of the nails? We had to spend 40 days figuring it out. Could we really make it through Holy Week? Could we really face the trials of that journey? So the Lenten question we ultimately asked was, are we willing to be disciples who can pick up our crosses and follow? Well, now we find ourselves in the Easter season. And here we have a different challenge, one that is just as powerful and one that most certainly has repercussions. For here, in the Gospel of John, Jesus adds another dimension, and with that added dimension, as always, comes responsibility. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Friends. A few weeks ago, my English teacher from high school came to visit our church. I thought I'd seen her recently, but it turns out that recently was actually about a decade ago, just after I'd finished college. At the time, when I'd seen her 10 years ago, I tried to call her by her first name, but I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. She was Mrs. Linfors. And despite how I tried, I couldn't get past the nature of the relationship we were in. So, a decade later, some 15 years after she'd taught me high school English, she came to our church and sat in the pews, and I finally began to see her in a new light. Our relationship is changing. I can finally call her Michelle. It took 15 years. And we're beginning a friendship. One minute, Jesus is the teacher. He's the one who imparts knowledge, the one who heals the sick, the one who walks on water, the one who communes with God, the one with all the power. The disciples know their role as students. They know how to follow, how to help, how to be in relationship with their rabbi. But suddenly, Jesus changes the friendship. Jesus changes their relationship. They don't have 15 years to get used to it. Their teacher, their Lord, their rabbi broke down the power structure between them just like he did in every situation. No longer am I the teacher, he says. Now we are equals. You are my friend. Imagine what this means. This is huge. I'm not the teacher anymore. I've shared my secrets with you. You know everything there is to know. No longer are you my disciples. You are my friends. Jesus is friends. That's big. And then he says the thing that every vulnerable soul wants to hear. I picked you. I chose you. You. I called you by name, your name. And I loved you. I've chosen you as my friend. You belong. You're in. This is way bigger than getting picked for the schoolyard team. We're not just chosen to play on the field. We're a part of the team. There's a huge responsibility that comes with this friendship, but the benefits far outweigh the cost. Jesus makes it clear that the one thing we as friends need to do is rest in love. Abide in it, for love will give you strength. Now, we've heard Jesus talk about love before. He tells us that this is the hinge that all commandments hang upon. He shared with us the golden rule to love others as we love ourselves. But here, he takes it even deeper and says, I love you the way God loves me. And you can also love others the way I love you. Imagine this. We are loved the same way that Jesus is loved by God. We're loved the same. Jesus shuns the special status. He shrugs off his identity as the chosen one, and instead he tells us that we are the chosen. You are chosen. You are. Never mind the sorority, never mind the silly children's games, never mind the school acceptance letters, never mind the divorce, never mind the job, never mind that feeling that you don't fit in. It doesn't matter whether you're gay or straight, whether you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter what religion you are, whether you're a Christian or Hindu. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're smartest in the class or the one who pretends to be the clown because you don't want anybody to know any different. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're the one driving the Lexus or you're the one who rode your bike. Doesn't matter if you're the pretty prom queen or you're self-conscious about being the fat girl who never got asked. It doesn't matter. You have been picked. You have been chosen. You are loved. Loved. This is really big here. Loved as Jesus was loved. Loved as the chosen one. See, I think that the biggest problems in the world come from individuals and together collectively who simply don't feel loved, validated, and chosen. Now you might say, oh, Sarah, you're oversimplifying things. And maybe I am. But why is it that therapists continue to look to our childhood, to those times when we felt neglected, wounded even? Why is it that in areas of our life that we have to focus on are the areas where we just don't feel good enough? Where we keep finding ourselves crossing our fingers and hoping that we're gonna get picked? At some level, at some point in our lives, we felt like we weren't loved. We were rejected. We were passed over. And we fear that it will continue to happen. So we replay that tape again and again, assuming we're going to get the same results or doing everything in our power so that we don't. And then we hear Jesus. Then the one who we thought was the chosen one, the one who we follow, the one who we lift up, the very same one tells us that we're the ones that are chosen. This is really big. This is profound stuff. We're given the same love. If nothing else is impressed upon you this morning, friends, I want you to hear this. This is something to hold on to. Jesus tells us that we are chosen, and we're chosen as friends, equals, students no longer, loved the same as Jesus was loved. This is big, big. This love is available for us, and it's intended to give to others. So if we can believe this, we can let go of all the stuff of our past, our fears of not being chosen, those feelings of inadequacy, the stuff that made us actually believe that we didn't deserve to be picked, the stuff that we bought into because somehow we thought we weren't good enough. Why did we ever buy into these silly human standards in the first place? Why did we ever believe we were small? There was never a time when we weren't picked by God. Never a time when God said, you're the last one on the list. Never a moment where God passed you over for someone else prettier, stronger, smarter, or cooler. Never. Never. You're chosen. You're loved. You are chosen. You are chosen, Erica. You are chosen, Christina. You are chosen, Marge. You are chosen, Dan. You are chosen, Carol. You are chosen, Karen. You are chosen, Virginia. You are chosen, Carrie. You are chosen, Lauren. You are chosen, Erica. You are chosen, Glenn. You are chosen, Pam. You are chosen. You in the back, you're chosen, Wayne. You're chosen, Sarah and Susan. You're chosen, John. You're chosen. You. I know you think that you're probably getting nervous that I'm not going to call your names, and that makes you even more nervous that you're not going to be chosen. And then you're even more worried that I am going to call your name, and then you're going to feel all nervous. Everyone starts to look at you. So we're going to make this easy. I want you to say out loud, I am chosen. I am loved. I am chosen. I am loved. Now I want you to close your eyes and say it real quiet. Just whisper it to yourself. I am chosen. I am loved. I am chosen. I am loved. Now I want you to open your eyes and do something that's really uncomfortable for everyone here at Fairview. I'm going to throw you out of your comfort zones, and I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you. I know we don't do this in this church, but we're doing it today. Look at the person next to you. Look them straight in the eyes. Squirm. Giggle if you have to. Roll your eyes and say, why is Sarah making us do this? And then look them in the face and say, you are chosen. You are loved. Okay, now turn the other way and say, you are chosen, you are loved. Okay, did you miss anybody? Because nobody gets left out here. Turn around and behind you if you need to. You are chosen, you are loved. You are chosen, you are loved. One more time to yourself, in case you didn't believe it the first time. I am chosen. I am loved. And you are. You're chosen. And with that comes responsibilities. You have to believe it. You have to believe you're loved. And if you can't quite believe it yet, act like you do. You can practice loving yourself while you love others. For Jesus tells us that this is what it is all about. Loving. Jesus chooses to love us, not just to teach us, but to treat us as though we are equals. That's big. For this is the greatest lesson that we must learn, to love and be loved. And if we can learn it, and if we can live it, then there's nothing left to figure out. Because when we love each other, not just the people that we like, but when we love each other, we choose each other. Inevitably, we choose justice. We can't help it. We want the best for the people we love. We automatically work for equality. We automatically stand up for human rights. We can't avoid those people that are different from us because we know that we're called to love each other. We learn that we're not any worse or any better than anybody else. Each of us deserves dignity. Each of us deserves love. Each of us is chosen. Each human life is sacred. Each is part of the team, part of the family, part of this cosmic force of love. And so there's a responsibility that comes with it. As friends of Jesus, you are appointed to love. You must go and bear the fruits of love, lasting fruits. And when you do, you will inevitably feel the joy that Jesus speaks of, the joy that comes from living life and living love. So it's up to you. It's up to you. You're the only one who can decide. You're the only one to figure out what to do with this friendship. You're the only one who can believe it. You're the only one who can act on it. Only you can receive the love that is here for you. Only you can give it away. Only you can live into that friendship that Jesus has offered you. And only you can be the Christ that lives on today. As Easter people, we know that Jesus didn't just die on the cross. For you can't kill love like that. You can't do it. It lives on. It lives on in you. You who have been chosen to receive it. You who have been chosen to give it. You are chosen. You are loved. Amen.